welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast, and our guest today is...
Hi, I'm Mary Adkins, author of Palm Beach.
Welcome to Syosset, New York. Are you actually on the East Coast? Do you live in that area?
I did for a long time, but moved to Nashville, so now I'm in Nashville.
So you're still
on the East Coast.
You're still in the South, but not...
Yeah.
Not where the book takes place.
Right.
So Palm Beach was one of those books that when I was watching book buzzes and just seeing what was coming up, immediately I knew I had to read it and reach out to the author because I am extremely well acquainted with that area. My grandparents had owned a condo on the Intracoastal right between Lake Worth and just this little strip of island that is like part of Palm Beach as well. And I'd been going down there since I was 6 months old.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, and I sort of watched the evolution of it from the area that you discuss where Rebecca and Mickey are living being non-existent to all of a sudden there being these high rises and these streets where things are happening. So it was wonderfully interesting to see a book take place in that area.
Cool. Oh, I love that. I haven't really talked to anyone yet who has spent as much time there that as you have. So this is, yeah, that's really cool to hear.
And what's interesting is when we started going down there as a family, there wasn't a lot. There weren't really like a ton of restaurants. There were a few places you could go. There was Worth Avenue where my family would like to stroll. But of course, everything was so exorbitantly priced. It was basically another world. So it was like a people watching experiment for us. And slowly but surely, the area just started to change. And the whole strip kind of heading from where I know to Worth Avenue, I should say, was lined with these mansions where you could not imagine how anyone could possibly afford to live in these places. And you'd find out they didn't even live there year round. So reading this book was, in a way, it felt very real to me because Rebecca and Mickey are dropped into this world. So please tell the audience the plot of the book and just sort of how you came up with the idea.
Sure. So the story opens in Florida, in Palm Beach, where this young couple, Mickey and Rebecca, both in their 30s, have just moved from New York. And they've moved because they were living in New York for a long time. She's freelance writing, he's an actor. And so they're struggling to make ends meet, you know, in the way that that working artists do, especially when they're living in such an expensive city. And they had found some success for sure, you know, but that doesn't mean not struggling. Like Mickey had spent a lot of his time catering when he wasn't acting and they just had a baby. So, and that really had changed the terms for them right before the book opens, because, you know, now they have this, they have a dependent, they have somebody to take care of and to pay for. And so when Mickey gets offered this job running an estate for one of the clients that he caters for, he's offered running this estate in Palm Beach. He can't really turn it down because it's a salaried position. You know, they get to like just have financial stability for the first time. They can like have warmer weather, you know, live in a place with warmer weather with their baby. So they move. And that's really where the novel opens, is with they've just relocated to this city and have a baby, and Mickey is running this estate. And from there, it unfolds as Mickey is poached by another family, by an even wealthier family, to run their nearby estate. And then over the course of the story, Rebecca also winds up starting to work for this other family. And the novel is really what happens when these two families, Rebecca and Mickey's, and the couple that they're working for, the Stones, when their lives become more and more enmeshed in one another's.
The money that was thrown around for doing things was nuts. And that kind of makes me think about just that area in general. At first he was a butler, I believe, or he was supposed to be. Was it supposed to be a butler for a family that he was acquainted with, actually here on Long Island? So didn't one of his coworkers referred to the area he's in? Was it like Little New York or something to that effect in Palm Beach?
Yeah, they call it like the sixth borough,
that's what it is. And certainly there are a lot of New York transplants down there. Mm-hmm. And especially one thing that I'd always found interesting is the evolution of pizza down there went from it being kind of gross to all of a sudden you'd meet all of these people who decided they were going to open a New York style pizza place in Florida, and they're from here, and they brought their techniques, and now some of my favorite pizza exists in that area. Really, like the amount of money that he was being offered, even for the first job, you could see why he wouldn't turn it down, even though, you know, it was a departure from the life they knew. One of the things that I really loved, and it was like just this first little touch to how the story was going to go, and I don't want to give much away, but I just thought it really brings up what the story kind of delves into, is that Rebecca is sort of an activist, or she has principles, is sort of maybe a little bit more accurate than being full-on activist. She has principles about where she wants to spend her money. She has principles about who she wants to really associate with. And it was like that first bit of, well, there's Chick-fil-A. We shouldn't be eating there, but you know, like maybe get me a lemonade. And it was just like that first moment of, okay, I'm going to acknowledge that here's a company that doesn't reflect where I'd like to be spending my money, but we just got here and it's hot and it's there. So let me just get a lemonade.
Yeah.
And a lot of the book is about how many concessions you will make depending on how it benefits you at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really interested in that. And like, and it's something I explored a bit in my novel Privilege that came out last year too, like how what we believe is connected to what we need or what we want. So like how, and not in ways we're aware of, you know, often like in these subconscious ways, like how our beliefs will shift to accommodate our lives. And I don't even mean that necessarily in a critical way. Like I don't know that it's a bad thing. I think it's just a human thing, but I think it's really interesting. Yeah, like you said, Rebecca is so principled at the start of the story, but she kind of has the luxury of, she has the luxury of being principled because those principles haven't been challenged, you know. And I think a lot of this story is like her coming up for the first time against, there's conflict for the first time between her principles and the things she wants, the lifestyle she wants, the success she wants, the feeling she has as mother, like very, you know, natural feelings of wanting a healthy baby and to feel safe and to feel secure in her kid's future. So yeah, that was something I was really trying to explore in the story.
Yeah, it was great. And then, you know, which was sort of touched upon and is hinted upon in the description of the book, it doesn't even just become what she wants. It becomes something that she needs. There comes a point where it's not just, oh, am I shirking my principles for comfort or for things? It becomes a situation where she really needs to decide what she's going to do, because it is going to impact somebody very strongly in her life. And the thing that I thought was very interesting is, so her husband is immediately poached by another gentleman who offers him even more money than he was getting to like clean a boat at his former employer's house. And he finds out that, you know, that this guy is a little bit more demanding, and his wife is supposedly quirkier and has more of a temperamental attitude even. But the money is like, you can't even turn it down. And he's probably not even going to take no for an answer. Like, if he said no, I didn't get the impression that Cecil would have accepted that. But then his wife was just this very interesting character who decides Rebecca's going to write her memoirs for her, ghostwrite her memoirs. Were they based on people that you knew, or was it just sort of a big amalgam of people who lived down there?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So one inspiration for this book, or a big inspiration for this book, is I live in Nashville now, but I lived in New York for like 15 years before this, and met my husband in 2013. And I was writing, I was trying to launch a career as a writer, and he was an actor and a singer. And all of his friends, who quickly became my group of friends too, were also actors. And as actors, I didn't know this until I had this group of friends, but like as actors, they cater like between gigs. That's just like the work that most actors in New York, or many actors in New York, are doing. And so I was suddenly immersed in this New York catering world, but as an observer, you know, like our group of friends, that we lived in the same apartment building. They were all around. It was a little bit like the show Friends, but everybody was always coming back from catering gigs and telling catering stories. It was like catering stories. And you know, I was like working on different projects at the time, and years passed, but like over the years, I just more and more, I thought like, this is just such an interesting and rich area in which to set a story. And then we decided to take a vacation to Palm Beach, my husband and I. And when we got down there, I visited for the first time, you know, the part that you're taught, that you went to all the time as a child, and had the same sort of like, I was like, what is this place? It wasn't like anywhere I had ever been, like these homes.
It's so different.
It's so different. And yeah, like then there weren't very many people around because it was off season. So like you said, like many people weren't even there. They don't live in those houses year round. And so I just became like, I just became enamored with the idea of writing a novel about people who go back and forth and setting it in Palm Beach, not setting it in New York. Because I had written a novel in New York. I love New York, but I felt like, you know, I was ready to write a novel set somewhere else. And Palm Beach just like really intrigued me. So we actually moved down there for a bit. We lived down there for about 8 months. So I could research and observe and take long walks and look around and talk to people. So it wasn't basic. No, it's not based on specific people. It's based on lots of conversations I had and research I did with a bunch of people I know who work in that world, both in New York and in Florida.
You had all of the, it was perfect. Like I knew that Publix, at City Lake, where Rebecca had her breakdown, and the Breakers, obviously. So you, whatever 8 months you spent there, you captured it very, very well.
Thank you.
Another thing that I thought was very interesting, because we're talking about not even just testing principles, but testing conceptions of people. And Mrs. Stone was not at all what Rebecca was expecting. Mm-hmm. And I think that that threw her for a loop as well. A lot of the things that she discusses when she discusses her memoirs were, I believe, what Rebecca was surprised to see were quite progressive for a woman of her age. Did you have any specific women in mind when you were crafting her?
Well, that I love that question. I really wanted Mrs. Stone to be a self-made, you know, a self-made woman, whatever that means, like financially, you know. She and her husband are billionaires, but I was really interested in writing a character who, like, of her age. So, you know, not like someone who would have found it easy to find like massive financial success solo as a female, you know, like in the 20th century. And so that was, I set out to research like who are these women who have actually done that, right? Like, there are only a handful of them. There are not that many of them. And that was such a fun research to do because I mean, kind of like you're saying, Rebecca discovers with Mrs. Stone, like I found like these women were so much more complex and kind of quirky than I ever would have thought. You know, and had like pretty specific political opinions and would like get involved in politics and then change their mind. I mean, there's just like a lot of interesting stuff I wanted to read. Like, I could have read endlessly about them. So Mrs. Stone, I mean, much like, yeah, like I said, not based on specific people, she's not based on any one of these women billionaires, but more just like the sense that I got in reading about them, like who these people are. And I'm glad you said that, because I did want to create, I had that experience of being kind of like repeatedly surprised as I was learning about them. And I wanted to recreate that experience that Rebecca was having too. Like, she thinks she knows this woman and then she finds out something new and it's like, oh, this person is a lot more complicated than I realized.
Another theme that comes up is parenthood. And I guess the inconvenience of being a parent in many ways, but also the impact that it has on your relationship and the relationships of people around you.
Yeah,
I liked that.
Well, I was, when I wrote this, I had, how old was my son? 2. So I was really coming out of like new motherhood. I mean, I was still in new motherhood, but I was coming out of like mothering an infant. So it was all really fresh in my mind, like the feelings and the trying to balance, like as a working mom, trying to balance work and parenting and, so I had a lot of personal experience to draw on there in writing Rebecca's struggle. And Rebecca in the book is not like her, the way that she's dealing with being a new parent, it's still very different than the way I dealt with it. Like Rebecca and I have really different personalities. I'm not as principled, but she's more kind of like, you know, she's kind of part me and part other mothers I've known. Like, you know, I think there, I noticed when I was right after I had a baby, there were kind of two kinds of parents, particularly moms, like ones who are kind of comfortable, like leaving their newborn pretty early on. And then those who like really weren't, like, they just didn't want to leave, you know, their child with anyone. And Rebecca is the second kind. She doesn't want to leave her son with anybody. So that means when she starts working at the Stone, she has to take him along, which, you know, as people can imagine, if you're listening, would like create some conflict because she's bringing this baby, not only into like an older, the home of some older billionaires who don't have children currently in the house, but also into the home of that her husband has, like, is in charge of running and keeping smooth and clean and nice and, you know, all the things that it's supposed to be, that aren't always can do, you know, having a baby is not always conducive to maintaining those things, having a baby in the room.
Yeah, I feel like the area in general, everything is just like so airbrushed and clean, and you would imagine
airbrushed is a good word for
yeah, right? You would imagine going into a house of a billionaire who decides that this is where they're going to live. I mean, there's nothing airbrushed and clean about babies, unless unless you're taking pictures and then you're airbrushing them yourself. It's right. Messy. There's a lot of crying sometimes from the parents.
Yeah.
And you don't have control over how this small human is going to act. So the anxiety, Mickey's anxiety in particular, I sort of got, because he wants to make a good impression on these people that are paying him an exorbitant amount of money to work for them. And he knows they're touchy. And it was almost like Rebecca, her opportunity sort of invaded that and put him at odds with his own job.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that really interested me too. I mean, it's about parenthood, but it's also about marriage, you know? And I think probably any married couple that's like wound up working in the same workspace, I would imagine, has had like that creates new issues in the relationship that need to be, I mean, they may not be huge issues, but like things that need to be dynamics that need to be managed. And that's exactly what happens here. Like they've never worked in the same space before. They're a close couple, you know, they get along really well. Like their relationship is fine. But then they've never had to like not only work in the same place, but not be on the same team. Like they don't have the same goals in the same place. Like his goal is to make things, like you said, smooth and airbrushed. Her goal is to do what she does, which is right. And also, so she doesn't really care if the baby's there. She doesn't really care if the baby's crying, because that doesn't matter to her, but it matters to him. So they have to navigate that.
It was refreshing to see the story go in that direction and not in a direction I think that a lot of these stories go in, where like you automatically think the husband is going to be tempted by whoever is laying out the towels on the pool. It was not like that. It was just a really good layered story about marriage, about privilege, about principles, about everything. And I can tell you, I know a lot of people are going to really enjoy reading it, especially in this area where people do still go to the sixth borough for vacation or other activities.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you for saying that. I hope people love the book. And the sixth borough remark was actually made. So when we were living in Palm Beach for those 8 months, I was researching, I was flying back and forth to New York a bit, just for work or to see friends. And I landed one day and was just chatting with my cab driver coming home from LaGuardia, and was telling him that I had flown from Palm Beach. And he said, "Oh, the sixth borough." Yeah. That was from my cab driver.
Great. I mean, that's gold right there. So before we sign off, out of curiosity, when you spent your 8 months down there, did you have a favorite spot, a favorite restaurant?
Oh yeah, I loved, what did I, okay, so I loved, we loved a restaurant called Avo, like avocado. I don't know if that is, I don't know how new it is, but we loved going there. And then there was a little French bakery actually in the building where we were living in West Palm, not on Palm Beach, but in West Palm. And the bakery was called Loic, and it is amazing. It's an adorable little French pastry shop. And then I just loved walking around. I mean, we would walk, I would stroll my son over the bridge every day, much like Rebecca does in the book, and just walk around, walk to the water, you know, walk around the island.
Where the people are fishing over the side of the bridge.
Yeah.
I have to ask, by chance, did you have breakfast at John G's while you were down there?
No.
Ooh, it's good. If you ever have
next time.
If you ever have reason to go down there again, John G's in Malapan, their cinnamon nut French toast, provided you're not allergic to nuts.
No.
Their cinnamon almond French toast and their hash browns are like nothing I have ever tasted in my life. And I have not been down there in 6 years, and I still dream about how
think
good
about it.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, cool. I'm sure I'll get back down there at some point. So thanks. I'm bummed I didn't check it out before.
So are you working on a new book now?
Yeah, kind of. I'm just at the beginning stages, actually, of kind of fleshing out a new novel idea. So I'm not talking about it yet, but I am. Yeah.
That's cool. Is it going to take place in a different setting?
Yes. Yeah. Not Florida or New York. So a new spot, or North Carolina, like Richmond.
I'm looking forward to seeing where you travel next time, and a place that I've been. Well, I want to thank you so much. This has been wonderful. Your book is out in early August, I believe.
August 3rd. Yeah.
August 3rd. And is it available in audiobook?
Yes.
Oh, very cool. Did you get to listen to it at all?
I did. Yeah. I got to weigh in on, you know, on who would read it. So that was fun.
Awesome. All right. So once again, this was Jessica from Syosset Library. Our guest today was
Mary Adkins. Thanks for having me. It was great to chat with you.
Oh, thank you. Come back for your next novel.
I would love to. Thanks, Jessica.
Oh, you're welcome. We are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.